are not necessarily those of our advertisers or staff.
We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
Tell me who rock, who sell out in the stores. You tell me who flop, who cop the blue drop, who jewels got blocks, who mostly don't you down to the blue drop.
From the WGNS studio in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, welcome to the Financial Doctor Show, where cookie cutter financial advice just doesn't cut it. If you're like me and tired of one size fits all financial talk radio, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Jason Qualls, certified financial planner, chartered life underwriter, MBA, IFRS certified. For more about the show, go to financialdoctors.net. There you can send us an email by clicking email the show. You can also find a link to our Facebook page as well. Again, the website, financialdoctors.net. You can also go to jasonwqualls.com, and you'll find the link to the radio show as well. To chime in today, comments, questions, 893-1450. Again, 893-1450. If you miss any part of today's show, you can catch us tomorrow, a rebroadcast, 4 p.m. right here on WGNS Radio. Or you can also go to financialdoctors.net and click listen to the show, and you'll find links to all our previous broadcasts here. Continuing with our weekly ripoff report, and these are starting to frustrate me a bit. They come out about every week with a different financial services company. But this week, just as a December 15th reported Financial Planning Magazine, FINRA fines Wells Fargo $2 million. For selling unsuitable investments to elderly clients. And last week, I think I shared with you, one in five people over 65 have been taking advantage of. And I think it equaled like something like 73 million. You can find the link to that article on my website as well. This one will be posted. But Wells Fargo was fined by FINRA, which is the regulatory body of in the investment world, at least the people that sell financial products. And $2 million. And I'm not even going to go into the details. It's the same old story. You got some hack job, gets paid a commission, selling products, and people wonder why they get taken advantage of. It's because people have conflicts of interest. And as long as you deal with people that claim to be a financial advisor that have conflicts of interest, you're going to continue to get screwed. This is part of it. So we'll put this link on the website about Wells Fargo. You can find the one about LPL. You can find the one about, I can't remember. You remember who we talked about Grant before? Two or three of them. LPL's the other one. Anyway, you'll find the links on the website, financialdoctors.net. But in the studio with us today, Grant Lichtenwalter, Middle Tennessee Insurance Group, independent insurance company or insurance agent here in town. And they're linked to their websites on financialdoctors.net as well. And they're on the show because I believe what Grant does, believe that he helps his clients, believe he helps his customers, and he's independent. He's not a captive agent, and he believes in doing what's right for the client. But the topic of today, and while we had old school rap as our intro, more money, more problems, does being richer, making more money, make life easier? Or do you just get to arrive in your problems with a limousine? But Grant, thanks for helping us out today.
No problem. I'd like to stop and congratulate you on your MBA.
Yeah, didn't make it to graduation today. I was trying to get a friend of mine that's actually there at graduation to call in and give us an update. She was not too thrilled about the request. But yeah, MTSU graduation today. I did finally earn my master's in business administration today. It's official, I assume. But that is over with. But what's new in the insurance world, Grant? Anything new? And Mike shared with us last week about, you know, we didn't talk company specific, but we got into a little bit about captive agents, and he came across somebody that had dealt with a captive agent, and he saved him, I think, like $1,200 a year, and the guy was like, well, is this too good to be true? But I was like, well, he was questioning you guys. I was like, hey, you may need to question the guy that was ripping them off by selling them a product. Like last week, I told everyone, I don't care how nice they are, how much they advertise, how good they were at your backslapping Christmas party. If they sell financial products and call themselves a financial advisor, I'd run far, far away.
Yeah, we see it every day. I mean, got a client this week, $1,300, two autos and a home, and he's just, you know, beside himself. He's doesn't know whether to be embarrassed that he's been paying that much or thankful that I can save him that much. It's really, we see it all the time. It's a good thing. We are able to save people, and like in pretty much all of our cases, saving him $1,300, and he's coming out. His home was a little bit underinsured, and he was underinsured on the liability side on his cars. So he's going to come out, you know, saving a ton of money and having a lot more protection to protect his assets and his home equity and his future income. So,
well, for anybody out there that's, you know, in has questions about their auto or their home or any insurance need, but specifically auto and home, give Grant a call at Middle Tennessee Insurance Group and just shop it and see. And
doesn't cost anything. Yeah, it's free.
And that's one of the things I've always, you know, I hate shopping for that kind of stuff. And I've been in and out of independent insurance agents in the past and been with captive agents. But, you know, and part of it's my own laziness, just like everybody else. But I'm just a believer. You need to be with an independent agent. You don't need to be with somebody that can only sell one company. It's just ridiculous because you have no way of knowing if that company is the best. And what they're going to tell you is, like everybody else in the financial services world, well, our company is, you know, AAA by some rating agency out there, and that's why we charge more, blah, whatever. It's car insurance. You're insuring a car. It's not rocket science.
Well, and all of our companies are rated just as highly, so we're not the ratings are
oh yeah, but I was talking to the guys that they tout that silly stuff, and they try to justify why they're more expensive. It's just bull.
Well, my background comes from the captive side, so I've been on that side for 3 years, and I was just as guilty of it. And then I kind of, once we got some time under my belt and saw that the independent companies paid just as good, and I couldn't, their rates were killing me. You know, I was getting business taken away day after day, and I said, I think I'm going to go be one of those guys. They look like they're having a lot more fun than me. They get to sell insurance and save people money and not have to kind of peer pressure them or guilt trip them into buying the insurance. It's all, you know, it's a commodity. It's no different than sugar or milk. The products are all underwritten by the state. The state of Tennessee oversees all insurance companies, State Farm, to Travelers, all of them. They, you know, they have to report to the state of Tennessee, and if they're not doing right, they're not going to be doing business in this state or any other state for very long. So it's not something out there where consumers need to be really concerned about, especially most of the companies we represent have been in business for 50 to 100 years. We don't deal with any companies. We look at them long before the customer ever gets a chance to even see the rates. So we've got our reputation on the line, and we're not going to sell a company that we don't believe in and that we don't feel is going to pay their claims.
Well, to make things simple, I would just say get on the website, go to financialdoctors.net, scroll down at the bottom, find Middle Tennessee Insurance Group, send an email to say, here's my coverage, let them quote you real easy over by email. Absolutely. You'll get a general idea of if you can save money, because, you know, it's Christmas time. You know, we need to be giving more, we need to be saving more, and, you know, you don't need to be spending a bunch of money on this ridiculous insurance. If you got an independent agent, they can shop for you every single year. If you're with a single company, and you mentioned State Farm, and I'm just, you know, not, there's nothing bad about the company per se. They're not on my ripoff report, but it's just that it's the only thing that they can do, and State Farm may not be the best for everyone. So
it's like golf clubs. State Farm has one club in their bag. If they're standing up on the tee box, they got their putter.
At State Farm, they're a big push. Back in a few years ago when I was with a wealth management company, State Farm was the most increasing number of CFPs, Certified Financial Plan. Mm-hmm. They're really trying to push their insurance people to go get that designation so they could go get into financial planning. But let's just be real, and that's fine. But, you know, if you're an insurance guy, you know, I don't know how well it's going to work, but
it doesn't. I was in the same situation with Farmers. We had to get our 6 and 63 license, and along with all the other insurance license, and then they wanted us to go out and sell mutual funds and sell these investments along with auto, home, life, health, disability, commercial insurance. And, you know, I'm sorry, I consider myself not a dummy, and I couldn't do it. And whenever, you know, I see other insurance agents trying to get into the financial products, it's scary because I didn't enjoy it at all.
I'm well versed in probably every other insurance product except for property and casualty, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't try to be. It's not what I would say that it relates well to personal finance. It is an area where you do need a specialist. You know, absolutely. Life insurance can relate back to your money, and health insurance, you know, everybody understands that. But you get into, you know, there's so many nooks and crannies of property and casualty. It's a, you need a specialist in that area. But
same thing with investments. I mean, that's why you know need to get an investment person that knows what they're doing, that can give you sound advice, that you know doesn't have their commission in mind, that has your money, growing your money and making sure that you're going to be able to retire and have some money when you need it down the road.
Well, we've rambled and rambled and got off here, but we're going to get to the topic, more money, more problems, right here on the Financial Doctors Radio Show. But people come to me and have came to me over the last almost a decade now, with some with lots of money, some with not a lot of money. But, you know, everybody's got different problems, and that's kind of the deal. Just being successful, if you're the one out here protesting over by the courthouse, if you're a 99%er, you know, would money solve your problems? But, you know, I see people jump for joy because they have money, but I've also seen people with money that are just flat out just unhappy. And I've been there. I chased money early on in my late 20s and made a bunch of it and got there. And I was like, man, this is not what life is about. And the same on the flip side. People that are kind of struggling, you know, believe that they can fix their problems. So let's talk about the wealth side of things and kind of the things that they see every day. But you know, I've been a follower of Tony Robbins, which is a big motivational guru, and he said money does not make your problems go away. You just get to arrive at them in a limousine. And you know, that guy went from, you know, haven't checked his references, but he went from basically broke to a few million dollar net worth back in the late 80s, I believe. That's two ends of extremes there. But people come with little money, have lots of problems, and when you have little money, their issues are usually college, retirement, budgeting. You know, how do I pay for food? How do I pay for gas? You know, how do I pay off this debt? And the list just keeps getting, you know, it goes on and on and on. And you know, too little money can cause problems, but if you have a bunch of money, you know, you worry about taxes and where to invest it, and you got people chasing you all over the country. You got every Edward Jones rep in town calling you saying, we need to help you and put you in this A-share mutual fund. But, you know, they have children that don't want to work. But, you know, I'm just here to tell you, I've seen the more wealth that you have, the more you kind of preyed upon by people in the financial services industry, because that you have a big target on your back. And my biggest pet peeve about people with money is this. They'll say, well, you'll ask them who they're using for their financial advice. Well, I use so-and-so because my buddy uses them. And that's just flat-out silly. Yeah. You know, I know we're a small town here in Murfreesboro, and I've lived here for 33 years, an entire life in the same quarter-mile area. But I don't do business with people regarding my personal finances because I've known you. I do it because I trust you, and I hear it all the time. It makes me laugh that people are that trusting with their money in that situation. But you know, we all have problems, and you know, most people look to books, they look for radio, and we're on the radio, but they look for the radio, look for the TV. And all this creates bigger and bigger problems, because most of the radio and TV guys, they don't even understand how money works. Most of them, and Grant, we've talked about this in the past, is they know how to brand themselves to make them appear that they're a financial expert. Mm-hmm. But they've never really practiced real-world financial planning outside of a studio. And they're really in the business of selling you a book or a seminar. And that's just the honest truth. Is why we believe here on the Financial Doctor Show that there is no one-size-fits-all approach. And for more about the show, go to financialdoctors.net. If you have questions today, chime in 893-1450. And then the other side of that, if you get away from the media, is that the financial planning industry, is the other source of the problem. You got these guys out here saying that they do financial planning when their ultimate goal is to sell you a financial product. And the more money you have, the more you're apt to get caught on by these guys. You know, we're, same thing in your business, Grant. You want to do business with the successful people, and you're, but I'm just kind of at a loss for where the industry's going. I'm tired of doing these rip-off reports. I'm tired of people taking this crappy advice. But it is the reason for my calling. What say you, Grant?
I'm right there with you. It's the same in our business. They, you know, I'm with this company because my dad was with this company, and you know, and that's the reason why they stay, or the reason why they don't want to look at another company. It's like, that's no reason. I mean, just because you've been overpaying with that company, and your dad's been overpaying, and your grandpa's probably been overpaying with that company, doesn't make it right. It just means your whole family's been overpaying for insurance. The same thing with investing. If they're just going to do it based on a referral and not do the research, then you get caught up in Ponzi schemes and things like that. You got to do your due diligence. The people you work with, they don't need to be coming necessarily for you for advice. They need to be coming to you for an education, a small little tidbit of what you spent all these years learning. They should walk away from their experience with you knowing, and then that way they know, that way whenever the next person comes along trying to buy them a free lunch or a free dinner or whatever and give them a little seminar, they can sit there and decipher, you know, from what they've learned from you, what they need to do, that this is not probably the best advice for them. Just like on the insurance side, the people I've had 50-60-year-old people tell me that they learn more about insurance in our 30-45 minute appointment than they've learned this point up to this point in their life about insurance. And that's pitiful. They should have, you know, they should have done this 20-30 years ago, but most people don't. They, like you said, they take a referral, which we love referrals, but I don't want someone to sit there and take what I just for me to put papers under and say sign here. I like to sit down and educate people and explain to them why they need this, what's going on in the process of them buying insurance, why they need these liability limits, just like, and even more importantly with their money, they need to sit there and ask you why. And once you tell them, then they'll know. And then whenever they go out in there and they get called on by these other people, they'll know why they don't need to do that and where the truth is.
Yeah, when you make a bunch of money, I think if you're in business, you know, you have to rely on the help of other people to say, you know, to kind of get you along and you know, help you as a mentor or whatever. But you know, I see it. It makes me laugh that I have a real successful friend that's been in a business for a couple of years, and he asked a business colleague, who do you use for your money? And he was like, well, I use such and such. And they went down and he hired him on the spot without any, you know, I don't even think this cat has any credentials at all. I don't know what.
He wouldn't have hired an assistant that quick.
I don't think he probably wouldn't hire this dude to do his bookkeeping, but he trusts this guy because somebody else says. It's like, it's ridiculous. Why would you trust somebody with your personal finances?
Spend more time hiring somebody to cut your grass.
Because they went to a 5-day training course in Nashville. It's silly. I talked about it last week that, you know, I came out of college, my undergraduate, with a finance degree and was real cocky and thought I knew everything, and then got my insurance license and got my investment license. I'm like, man, I know everything there is about investments. And I didn't know jack. I mean, I don't give it before or after the 5-day training period they put me in. And that's what you're really coming into. If you got these people that come from all walks of life advising you on money, there's really, you know, you have to go out and get credentialized. You have to, you know, start with looking someone that's a certified financial planner, or don't hire them. I don't care, you know. Well, at least get somebody that has a finance degree, a money degree.
Ask for some referrals from them, because I'll be, you know, glad to give you some people's names and numbers to call, just like I'm sure you will. I mean, I've been licensed, Jason, since 98.
You're old, man.
Very. 33, as a matter of fact, same age as you. So, you know, until I'd been an insurance agent for several years, I mean, until you handle claims in our business, it's all about the claims. I mean, the great rates, we talk about the great rates on here, but we're very proud at Middle Tennessee Insurance Group about our claims departments for the different companies we represent. And that's really what the great rates are for the customer. The claims paying is for us, because that's what our reputation is based on. And if these companies don't follow through and don't pay claims, then, you know, it doesn't really do us any good to have a cheap rate whenever you're, you know, in trouble with the customer. So we depend on the claims paying department. That's what we look at foremost. But until I handled some claims in the business, until I'd been in the business long enough to get some big claims, I didn't know anything. You know, I was selling this product, and you don't even learn how it works. And these people that do business with this, oh, well, my friend's son just got his insurance license, that's why we bought this insurance. I'm like, well, your friend's son has set you up to fail here, because if you have a car wreck right now, you're in big trouble. you don't have anywhere near the right protection. And well, I was just trying to do him a favor. That's not why you buy insurance or do financial investing. You're not trying to do anybody a favor but yourself.
Everybody's got a brother-in-law in the business, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, let's talk about, successful people that you see with liability limits when we come back. Let's take a break. Zach, if you can key up the commercial, we'll be right back on the Financial Doctor Show right here on WGNS Radio.
Stay humble, stay low, blow like Woody. True pimp, nigga, spend no dough on the booty. Yeah, we go main stage, go your cutie.
Is your financial advisor really a salesperson? Traditional financial planning is the source of the stress that most people feel in their financial life. This is because most financial advisors are driven by how to sell you financial products rather than providing sound financial advice. The way your advisor is compensated really matters. Hire someone to put your interest first and really works for you, not a mutual fund broker dealer or an insurance company. If you're looking for someone that can provide you with sound financial advice that's objective and unbiased, call me, Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner and Fee-Only Financial Life Coach at 878-2134 or go to jasonwqualls.com.
Hello, this is Grant Lichtenwalter with Middle Tennessee Insurance Group. We specialize in shopping your home and auto insurance out with the top-rated companies in the country. And even though our rates are low, we pride ourselves on our service and our attention to detail. We save the average household over $500 a year, while in most cases increasing their coverage. Call Middle Tennessee Insurance Group today at 898-0053. Your home for affordable coverage with complete protection.
All right, welcome back to the Financial Doctor Show right here on WGNS Radio. I'm your host, Jason Qualls. If you have questions, comments, chime in, 893-1450. You can go to financialdoctors.net. We're talking about the more money you have, does it really mean less problems? What are the pitfalls in the financial planning industry, the financial services industry? And Grant was talking about, we've had this conversation before. You'll get someone that comes to you that has some money, and they've got it. And what I've seen with people with money, they normally have like five or six advisors. They think that's diversification. They'll usually have rely on an attorney. They'll get a CPA. They'll have some investment guy. They'll have a banker, and they think. I listen to them all, and I kind of pull. That's just stupid. That's like running a Steve Spurrier offense. Pick a quarterback and go with it. You got to have one person that can oversee your entire financial life. You can't have five or six that are kind of batting for your business, because what you essentially get is you get half but service from all five or six of them, and nobody's there to service you well, because and that's what I used to see it all the time with people that have some money. But so if you're out there, if you're doing well, you need a general practitioner to help you with your personal financial planning. But going back to the insurance part, you'll come across people, Grant, that or just underinsured, and tell us why, what do you see and why it's important, and things to look at if you do have or are on your way to having some significant wealth.
Yeah, we definitely try. There's a fine line between being nosy and gathering the right information. They're not used to it from an insurance agent trying to actually figure out what they're worth. And, we're not doing this to, just to be nosy. We're doing it to make sure we have the right products in place. And whenever I just became an independent agent, I was still in the whole mindset of just write whatever I can write, and I wasn't in the mindset of being a professional and trying to really dig in and find out what we need to do. But I knew about it, and I'd had good training, and was at a gentleman's house, and I like to do as many appointments at people's kitchen tables as I do in the office. And I was at the guy's kitchen table, and I met at his home, and it was a nice home, but his net worth was a lot more than a lot nicer than his house. And he's talking about the fact that he's a very white collar nurse, and his wife's a nurse, and they both work at Vanderbilt and high income and all this. And I'm going, looking at his coverages and realizing that what he's got with Geico is he's got low limits on his coverage. And then we dig in even further and find out he's got a mentally retarded daughter that lives in Florida and is completely dependent upon him and his wife's income so that she can stay in this place that she's lived her entire life. It's a place that specializes with people with her condition. and it's they were telling me how wonderful it was and stuff, and I'm sitting here looking at these limits, and I, you know, got to my part, you know, getting to know them and finding out their needs and stuff, and then I started in on this, and I guess I kind of oversold it, because whenever he got around to, he wanted to cancel Geico, like, right there, and called him up, and he let him have it. I mean, if he had had a car wreck, and the thing that got me out to his house was the fact that his son had had a DUI, and, you know, the son that was driving one of their cars, still on their insurance and everything, and it was a very scary time for him, because he makes a lot of money, he has a lot of money, paid for house, a daughter completely dependent upon him, and he had nowhere near the right amount of protection, nowhere even close. We ended up, you know, properly protecting him, getting an umbrella policy in place and all that, and he called Geico and let him have it, and the guy even had the audacity, well, we can quote you those limits, and he's like, you don't understand. He said
it should have been advising him in the first place what to do.
And this is the other thing, Jason, that we have to deal with in the insurance business, is people can be their own advisors. They can go online and buy insurance. And that's the scariest thing of all, because there's no recourse.
Well, sure, you can go to E-Trade and Schwab and invest
your own money. That's
true.
I never thought of it that way. Yeah. I mean, but we see people all the time that have about half the coverages they need. They don't even have uninsured motorists. They got liability because they know that's, you got to have it, because the system won't let you go forward, you know, when they're getting it quoted. And, you know, it's very scary doing that kind of stuff. I mean, you can do E-Trade once they've talked to you and they've gotten an education and they can pay, you know, for your services to educate them on.
No, and here's why you can't do your own stuff. I don't care how smart you are. I don't even like doing mine, because you can't be objective.
That's true.
You're too involved in your own situation. And, you know, I'm not affiliated with National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, because I like to remain free. I'm affiliated with the Financial Planning Association through the CFP board. But anyway, NAPFA, or National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, I think requires all their fee-only guys to have a financial planner of their own. It's a requirement to be on their board. And it's because you can't look at your own stuff. And I'll give you firsthand. You know, I know. I feel like I'm pretty smart when it comes to money. But in 2007, 2008, I took a bunch of risk in real estate, and then it cost me a bunch of money, and I've nearly lost everything. So you can't be objective. So I don't give a dang if you know investments or no insurance, you need to be working with someone outside of your circle that can help you with that. But what Grant was really talking about is your risk level. If you have some money, you have more reasons to protect it.
Absolutely.
And I feel like people just get so complacent. They go, well, you know, it's never going to happen. Or I remember meeting with one of my friend's fathers probably 5 or 6 years ago that had some money. He's like, well, my friend that's richer than I am doesn't do that, so I'm not going to do that. I thought that was so stupid. Well, maybe your friend should be doing that. But I wrote a blog, you know, talking about one of the big financial talk radio show host, and he talks about, you know, rich people don't do this and rich people don't do that. I'm like, well, the smart rich people do. It's the dumb ones that don't do certain things. You know, there's no cookie cutter way to do it, and you need to be working with someone that can look at your situation outside of your circle. But let's move on to investments. And Grant, you have a little bit of experience with investments. You were licensed to sell variable products with farmers. Do you still have your license, or you lapse it?
No. I'll leave that up to the professionals.
But what I see with people that have some wealth in investments is that, you know, here's how the scenario goes. So if you're out there and you've been through this process, you probably need to fire your financial advisor. But somebody will call on you. I don't care if it's somebody from the bank or someone through the local whatever insurance investment firm here in town. And they'll say, well, let me look at your account statement. We're going to put this in our software, which is Morningstar, and it's called Principia, 9 times out of 10. And it gives you a pretty little graph that says, here's how much you have in large companies. Here's how much you have in small companies. Here's how much you have in growth and value. And it'll give you your beta, which is your risk level, and your alpha, which is how well you're outperforming the market. And they say, well, if we could do this for you, we would have done this different, and you would have made X amount more money than you would have had. Well, hindsight's always 20/20. I don't give. I can look at any statement you have and tell you did it wrong, because there's always something out there that's better. But what does that say, that somebody regurgitates back to you what you already have and says they could do that for you? And that's how the financial planning world works, because all they essentially want you to do is transfer your money over, and you're probably going to end up owning the exact same thing that you owned before, just with a different name on it. I don't care if it says Fidelity, if it says Vanguard, if it says American Funds. You have to look under the hood of what you own. But two areas in investments that wealthy people must have. Now, if you're kind of starting out, it's arguable. You could debate whether you need these two asset classes. But if you've built some wealth and you're only in equities and fixed income, which is basically stocks and bonds, you need to be looking at areas like real estate, outside of your personal residence, and commodities. And people hear commodities like, well, I want to go buy pork bellies. You know, that's not... Well, commodities used to be a thing that only professionals used up until about 10 years ago, and they started developing commodity-based mutual funds. And why commodities is a good thing. You know, everybody talks about the spot price of gold. And you know, Dave Ramsey was on debating, I think 2 days ago, about some dude that wanted to buy gold. And he was basically telling me he was an idiot because he was speculating on the price of gold. I'm not talking about speculative stuff. But you got to think of what commodities are. It's stuff like your eggs and and your fuel. You know, it's a hedge. So if you're saving money in equities, and we have a fantastic economy, that's going to be the best producing asset class. It always has been for the last 80 years. It's going to continue to be. But when things aren't going so well and the prices of things are fluctuating all across the board, we don't know what Europe is doing. The first thing that jumps up is things the cost of what we're buying, inflation or deflation. And by having tangible exposure to commodities in a broad diversified fund or index fund, you get that hedge. And I'm not talking about go put half your money in some commodity fund. We're talking about 5 to 10% of your overall allocation just to give you some downside protection against the price of goods rising. And there's multiple books on it. You can go back and you can get on Yahoo Finance and you know, look at why I say this. Commodities have basically punked out the stock market for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I don't know if it'll do that in the long run, but it's just to say that we want things that don't always move in the same direction.
Same reason you want bonds, correct?
Yeah, and people, and me too, people thought that before 2008 that bonds were the non-correlating asset, that you know, if we have stocks over here and fixed income mm-hmm. or bonds over here, they don't go up and down at the same time. And the way investment, I can just see it clear today. If you're working with... I ain't going to say the name. Let's just say, if you're working with an Edward Jones guy, they'll show you a 20-year chart that says, here's the best performing asset class from year to year, and here's the worst. They'll give you a big, pretty chart that says, well, sometimes it's large cap stock, sometimes it's bonds, sometimes it's real estate. All that to get you to say that you need to own all that stuff. But it's all looking in hindsight. But, and people would think, well, I never see that bonds are up when stocks are down. I never see that stocks are up when bonds are down. It's always at opposite ends of extremes. Until 2008, and all hell broke loose, and nothing worked. Everything went down in value, and asset allocation no longer worked. The theory of modern portfolio theory went out the door with most financial advisors. And here's why. Because everything was impacted by the global economy. Everything lost value, almost. And if you don't have your money in some things that are guaranteed, then you lost money across the board that year. So the point I'm trying to make here is you need to own a lot of different things that don't always move in the same direction, down or up. And real estate and commodities is typically where you need to be adding those things if you have some level of wealth. I'd say if you had over $100,000 in investable assets, it is something you need to consider. It's not for everyone. On the real estate talk point, most people's personal residence will make up this area. It'll be more than a third of their overall net worth, most time more. If you get where it's kind of really overly weighted, you don't have at least a third of your overall net worth in real estate of some type, you probably need to go out and buy some type of real estate mutual fund. And it's just a way that you're spreading yourself across these boards. Because here's what changed in 2008 besides everything losing money. If you don't believe that we're in a global economy, or you didn't before then, now you definitely have to agree that we are, because if Europe has a bad day, we have a bad day. And no longer can you go hide in international stocks like you once could before, or hide in the U.S. companies, because everything, equities and fixed income, basically are on the same bandwagon now. But real estate is a wholly different animal. Commodities are a totally different animal. And by having exposure to all those groups, it just really hedges your bets across the board. And on that, if I talked about Morningstar, people coming and say, well, look at your investments. And they analyze what you have, and they always give hindsight 20/20. People are, most financial advisors are really, you know, backward thinking. They ask you questions, well, when do you want to retire? And what kind of money do you want in retirement? They ask you all these questions that are very subjective. You have no way of knowing.
I used to ask all those questions.
And it's great. You gotta plan, and you gotta make some goals, but that's called deductive reasoning. Mm-hmm. in the world of, you really gotta think about what you can control, and that is how much you save and how long you save it for. That's the only two things you can't control. Taxes, you can't control inflation. You can't control the stock market, the bond market, commodities market. So you have to focus on what you can control. So it starts with really your cash flow, not some pie in the sky. Do you want to retire at 60 or 65? You can ballpark it all you want, but it's going to be wrong. You know, it's not even worth the paper it's printed on. And they'll come back with some fancy financial plan that estimates inflation and estimates taxes. And it's great to estimate those things as long as you understand that it's going to be wrong. It's not going to be accurate.
It's a plan, but which, I mean, that's all it is. So what are you saying? Are you saying that you need to, what are you saying? What is your solution for that?
Well, the solution is just to realize that is not a plan. I don't say it in that way, but it's not, don't bank on any of those things coming true. Just because somebody's giving you a 30-page report that maps out your college and retirement savings, don't think that that's properly advising you. It has to go a lot deeper to exactly what you're owning, how long you're owning it for, and stop worrying and stop banking on things we cannot control. I guarantee you, look at any financial advisor report, it's going to show you a tax rate and an inflation rate at the bottom and an investment return rate. But those are all estimates. But people, I'm saying they're overvaluing what that report can actually do for you.
Well,
and saying
thing
that,
is
yeah, I'm going to work with this guy because he's got a pretty report. And I'm telling you, it may be pretty, but as long as you know that it's going to be wrong.
Well, it's going to change. I mean, if they follow the report and things like that, in 10 years from now, they're going to, the everything on there is going to be different. I mean, their income is going to possibly be different. Their tax rate probably most definitely be different. I mean, the government will do something to change the tax rate. And all their goals and things will probably change in a 10-year period. So it's something that you're saying it's best to kind of set something up like with somebody like you, and then it's constantly.
Well, let me
in
put it a different way. If I ask you, Grant, when do you want to retire? And you say 60, and I say, Grant, you need to be saving $2,000 a month. Great news, right?
Yeah.
If you can't save $2,000 a month, what are you gonna do? Not retire at 60, right?
No.
Just save what you can.
Right.
We need to focus on your cash flow and your budget. And maximize the amount you can save. You're going to get where you're going regardless. Just because we put out some report that says you're going to retire at 60 if you save $2,000 a month doesn't mean you're going to get there.
Right.
if you can't do the number, and then it goes back to, well, if it is $2,000 a month that you have to save to retire at 60, and these are just arbitrary numbers, by the way, it's still based on rate of return, inflation, and taxes that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather spend my time with you going through your cash flow and maximizing the amount of money you can put away,
right,
than talking about all this arbitrary stuff that's going to be wrong in the first place.
Kind of like back to the insurance where we save you $1,300, then you've got
that was like a 15-minute way to say to get there. But that's really the point of it is, you know, if you want to hire me as your financial planner, and we want to spend 2 hours talking about these pie-in-the-sky goals that really don't relate to anything you're probably going to accomplish anyway, great, we'll do that. But I would rather start with, okay, you make $75,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Your expenses are 80% of what you're making. How can we cut those expenses back? And then where do we need to put that money that you're saving? And then we'll kind of back into when you're going to be able to retire.
And successes motivate. Whenever people see, oh, wow, you know, I went from having $1,000 in the checking account every month to now I got $10,000. Now I've got these investments with $20,000 investments and $10,000 in my checking account. And as things start to grow, it's going to give them motivation to do even more and more. And that's what I see with successful people. successful people don't necessarily make a lot of money. They just know how to use what they do make. And they might only make $50,000 or $60,000, which in this day and age, unfortunately, isn't a lot of money. But they know how to maximize what they make and save a good percentage of it and use it wisely and not just blow it. Back to the whole, you know, the theme of the show today. You know, there's a lot of people making six-figure incomes that don't have anything. They just spend it all and they're mortgaged up to their eyeballs and they've blown it, and it just creates other problems of they're just as broke as the guy making $12 an hour. And it doesn't really, having a high income doesn't necessarily fix being broke. It just means you might, like you said, you might be able to afford a limo on your credit card where the guy that's making $12 an hour couldn't afford to get have the credit card to get the limo.
You've seen that movie, what was it, Boiler Room, that came out like right after the 2000 market tech boom.
Yeah.
And the guys, it was like, he was driving a Ferrari, but he said he ain't got $20 to put in the gas tank.
Yep, and there it is. Yep, I've got that.
You could be broke at any income level, but just from, you know, the more wealth you create, the better advice that you need, and you need to get away from the traditional way of thinking that financial planning is about these far-fetched, silly goals, because if you can't achieve them, what good is it? And go on a different note, you know, a guy on the radio in Nashville says, you know, everybody needs to have 3 to 6 months of emergency fund. Well, it makes logical sense to me, and it would be great that people have that. But as a population, if you look at the capability of people actually being able to do that, it's just not going to happen for most people. They're not going to be committed enough. So, you know, 2 or 3 months may be what some, you know, let's get that accomplished. If you kind of put out there everybody needs 3 to 6, they'll be dead by the time they get that. That's just the reality of the world that we live in. You know, if you get most of what the median income here in Rutherford County is around 50 or something household. Yeah. And you know, so you're probably realistically need about 10 to 15,000 in the bank. No, look at the studies. Most people don't have that. Do they need it? Sure. But we have to be honest with clients and say, I think you're just not going to be able to attain that 6 months. And it'd be great if you could, but we got to stop putting everything else on hold, like college and retirement, and by waiting for you to get this cash reserve that you just can't achieve. So it's just really about honesty with your clients and looking at it from outside in. Everybody's probably thinking, well, man, I don't know if I agree with this guy. This guy's kind of, everything that I've heard is wrong. Well, maybe so. You know, I'm just telling you, look at your situation differently. You may need 10 months of an emergency fund, or a grant may need 3 months, or a business owner may need a year and a half of cash, or you may only need 6 months. You know, it varies. There's no cookie cutter approach.
You know, some other things, disability insurance. A lot of people, if you have disability insurance and that type of thing, you might not need as much. You know, if something were like that were to happen, if you're not able to get disability insurance or your health insurance is not that great, you probably need 6 to 10 months. So every situation is different, and that's one thing.
Yeah, Dave says 3 to 6. Susie Orman out there says 9 months of emergency fund now. I'm saying, let's talk about you and your life, and then we'll determine how much you need to have in cash, because it's not a cookie cutter approach.
I don't have sick days. I can't call in sick. So if I were to be sick, I would have to pull from savings. So I probably need more than somebody that has a boss that, you know, benefits that could call in sick. You know, my brother, he's in the military. He's got great benefits. He could call in sick. He could not show up to work for a couple of weeks if he became ill, and his bills would still get paid. Mine wouldn't. So I probably need a little bit more of an emergency fund than somebody that's in that type of situation. Neither one of them are right or wrong. It's just like Jason's saying, there is no cookie cutter approach. You can't say 3 to 6 months expenses. Well, you know, that might be a bad use of your money to have 6 months tied up in a savings account, where if you have great benefits through work that are going to allow you to be out of work for 2 to 3, 4 months sick or personal leave days and all that, that'd be a bad use of your money. You could put that in college fund for your child or investments, and where it could be growing and doing other things with it than just sitting in a savings account that isn't making anything right now. So,
switching gears a little bit, talking about wealthy people, more money, more problems on the Financial Doctor Show. For more info, go to financialdoctors.net. If you have questions today, chime in 893-1450. But one thing I see a lot of successful people do, and most of my clients that have been successful are small business owners, who normally don't have a 9-to-5. They really overdo it in what they know, particularly in
real estate. I call it the 5 to 9, 5 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Real estate, you'll see a lot of real estate guys say, well, I put a lot of my money in real estate because I do what I know.
Mm-hmm.
Or I put my money over here in this because I'm doing what I know. Well, you need to wake up, and I'm a business owner too, and I know most of your wealth is tied up in whatever business you're in, so don't make other stupid decisions tied to that business, because it will take you down if something goes wrong. I have firsthand experience with it. It happened to me in 2008. Everything that I had was tied up in basically real estate because I thought I could outsmart economic risk, and I lost. But I see it a lot. You have a business owner, let's just, you know, say $1 million net worth, and he's made his money through real estate. You go, well, you'll ask him, how much money do you have in real estate? And he'll say 80%, because I know that. I know I could make whatever return. And we can equate that to any industry. But just wake up, people. You know, don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, I see a lot of business owners that's they don't have anything outside of it. And it to me, it would be very scary to not, even if it's bonds or something, CDs at the bank, something other than their business, where if something happened to them, they would have their money other than in their business. I mean, I see that a lot too. And it baffles me that they don't want any type of diversification at all, and understand that they've had, you know, some lean years in their business, but now that they've got some surpluses and some money that they can divert to other investments and stuff, that, you know, that would be a good idea to put it somewhere, to get with somebody, you know, if they're not familiar with anything and they want some advice, to get with somebody like Jason to figure out what to do with that.
Well, what I've heard from a lot of these guys is they'll say, well, I just don't trust anyone else. And that comes back to the financial services industry, because most people running around out there that sell products are just hacks. They don't know what they're doing, so I can't really blame them there. But you need to seek out someone that is going to be your trusted advisor, to guide you through that. Just as, you know, I rely on other professionals to advise me, because I need help from someone that can look objectively other than my situation. Same to you if you're a business owner and everything's tied up in your business. But I'll move on to the financial advisor approach to the wealthy people. The main question they normally ask, well, let's get into it. We talked about it before the show. Seminars and things like that. You get a lot of postcards in the mail. People want you to come get a free lunch, and they'll give you free financial planning or retirement advice if you go to the Parthenon and go to their seminar. it's even on FINRA's alerts website, which is the regulatory body of the financial services business, but just basically telling you to stay away. But you said you had a brother-in-law that had some money or something.
No, I had my mom used to live in Brentwood, and I don't know how much they 37027 zip code over in Brentwood. There's no telling, because my parents did not have money by any means. But I guess just being in that zip code, they would get postcards and letters, and I would go. I lived here in Murfreesboro, and I'd, you know, go there over there to visit, and I'd say, man, I'll never have to buy another meal again every time I come over here. It's like, why aren't we going to this tonight? You know, this looks like a nice restaurant. And my stepdad would joke. He's like, hey, yeah, why don't you go to one of those? He says, I've been to a few of them, and, you know, but that's how they get people in there. I mean, they're very well done up, and they look really good.
It's always the same cats. I would bet you 9 times out of 10, if you get invited to a seminar on anything to do with retirement planning, it's going to be with a guy that has the letters CSA after his name, which stands for Certified Senior Advisor. Look around. I guarantee if you've got a postcard for, it's going to be from a CSA, because that's what those guys do. They're seminar salesmen, and they really prey on the elderly people, the retirees, and they've got this hack job designation. If you don't believe it's a hack job designation, just Google CSA and Google CSA complaints. You'll see that most investment firms have even stopped letting advisors say that they're CSAs because it is really geared toward marketing to clients rather than advising clients. And I think it's like a 2-hour online internet exam or something to get the CSA. I think you may have to mail it in. I don't. But that's just the thing to look for out there, is is what qualifies them to be giving advice. But they're trained in this CSA program to mail you these postcards. That you get a free map or something, or a free lunch, and they'll tell you how you can save your retirement money with virtually no risk and guarantee you 10%. And if you have one of those, you know, if you've been to one, call in 893-1450. We'd love to hear from you and love to hear what their claims are. But there was a guy that actually had this spot on WGNS. I think he was out of South Carolina that was basically doing one of these pitches. They said, guarantee your principal and you still get all the upside of the market.
Sounds too good to be true to me.
Yeah, where do I sign up? That sounds great. I want that. It's, you know, if it were that easy, people, everybody be doing it. It's just not. But right here on the Financial Doctors Show, more money, more problems. We've been all across the board today. We've talked about a little bit. Let's talk about not having money. If people out there are kind of struggling with the having to buy Christmas presents, you know, where to turn here in town. You know, Greenhouse Ministries is a great place you can turn to. There's a lot of great Journey Homes, another one. So, you know, look those guys up, and they're on the website, financialdoctors.net, and have links to them as well. But do you see people, I know you save people money with their car and their home insurance. It's the main two areas that you're helping out. What do you see from a budgeting financial crisis? What are people stressed out? With talking with people at Greenhouse, people normally that are really struggling financially, they always seem to splurge more. They'll get the next paycheck and they'll take the whole family out to a big dinner. And I'm kind of guilty of that too, because I think they just want a release of the stress, a getaway, an
instant
escape.
Gratification. Yeah.
Get an escape, because when I deal with stress, I'm like, I don't care if I got to go spend $150 somewhere. I just want to go relax. Mm-hmm. And take, you know, knowing I probably shouldn't do that. I feel like it's the same situation there with people. Do you help?
Yeah, that's one of the things, one of the things we get to do with people that maybe they're, this is kind of the other end of the spectrum. This is more of the acceptance and the direct and that side of it. And those are worse, because at least with your State Farms and your Nationwide, they're going to pay your claim. And those are, they're good companies to deal with. A lot of these other companies that are, get you legal for less and that type of stuff, they're hack jobs. They are the hack jobs of the business. I mean,
I've always wanted to call them, though.
Oh man, they wear you out. I mean, that's the difference, and then that's the ones that you see, and their rates are even worse, and their advertising gets you legal for less, and that's a horrible thing to even say to somebody. You're basically saying we're selling you an inferior product, you know, and that's one of the more gratifying things is when these people call. Usually, a lot of them are in the, you know, on the teetering on having to cancel their insurance because they can't afford it, because these companies are, while they advertise they're cheap, they're not. So we're able to get them a plan, much better coverage. I mean, not like a little bit more coverage, but a lot more coverage than what they've got now from, you know, one of these companies. And it's less expensive. And they've, you know, a lot of them are really good clients. They just don't have a lot of money to spend on this stuff. And they're in the premiums are so much because they're lumped in with these other high risk people that they're paying through the nose for a really, really bad product. And so that's one of the more gratifying things we do is whenever people are like, man, now I can afford my auto insurance. And you know, you just help somebody literally, you know, not only stay legal for us, but they've got good coverage, so we can feel good about that. And now they can afford it. So if you're out there and you think, you know, I'm getting ready, I can't afford auto insurance anymore, I'm just going to have to go drive out here without any insurance, don't do it. Call us first, 615-898-0053. Call us and let us see what we can do for you before you cancel your insurance, especially this time of year. You don't want to be in jail on Christmas Eve. So, but that's Jason. That's actually one of the feel good things we get to do in this business is get somebody like that that's literally on the border of having to cancel their insurance because they can't afford it.
Well, we got about 5 minutes here on the Financial Doctor Show. Let's take it to the other extreme. And I just kind of popped in my head. You mentioned legal for less. When you start making some money, you'll get a lot of calls from these insurance pitch guys that are try to sell you life insurance products that they'll try to entangle as an investment. And they're basically one-trick ponies. That's all they do is they, you know, that. And I'm not here to say that the products that they're selling is bad, per
overused.
Se. I'm just saying that, you know, if that's all they do and they're only looking at that one particular, you know, that one bullet out of the gun, and they're not looking at your other financial situation, like your taxes, your estate plan, your retirement plan, and they're just trying to sell you something, it may not be a best fit for you. I've seen it before. There was a very successful businessman, and it was kind of it was unique. He was putting $10,000 a year. I almost said a month. Maybe it was a month. But he's putting a bunch of money away and whole life insurance. And it was kind of the thing. And it could have been a great product, but I'm just thinking, why is he taking advice from this one guy? Because the guy essentially just, they call you up and say, I got this great thing that only rich people are doing.
Yeah.
They'll call it the rich man's Roth IRA,
mm-hmm.
and they'll make it sound too good to be true or better than it really is, and you'll put money there, and then you'll cancel it 3 or 4 years later, and you've lost your money. So if you're successful, beware of these one-trick ponies. There's a very successful one here, and he operates very close to here. And he's the one, he travels the country, buddy. He flies all over doing this one-trick pony with life insurance. And like I said, it may be a great product, but if it may not fit into your situation if someone's not looking at the entire picture.
That's square peg in the round hole. You see that a lot in all lines of the business, investments, insurance. And that's just not the way it works. You have to take the time, and that's, you know, something that you need to demand from whoever you're using, that they take the time to find out your situation. Just providing them what you had before and then beating your rate on what you had before is not what you should be doing in any of it. You know, just like what Jason's saying, providing your statements from your prior broker to your new broker, that's not, you know, and them just switching it over. Why are they switching it? What are they doing different? Same thing with insurance, providing your deck pages to your new insurance agent from your old insurance agent and them selling you the exact same thing. Why would you want to do that? Why don't you want to learn something about what you have? I mean, you wouldn't go buy a car without learning something about it. Learn something about your investments, learn something about your insurance, or don't change. Stay with who you're with. If they don't provide any better service, any better knowledge than what you got, probably better just stay where you're at.
Well, awesome. Well, it's time to wrap up here. We've talked about being rich and having problems, being broke and having problems. We kind of scatterbrained across the board, but the point we want to get across to the listeners is that you will have a target on your back if you have been successful. Beware of the one-trick ponies. Beware of these people that really don't have your best interest at heart from any financial matter, whether it be the insurance side or the investment side. You need to be working with a general practitioner that can handle your financial affairs, your personal financial life. And for more on the show, go to financialdoctors.net. But we're glad that Grant could join us today. Thanks for Zach for being here. But remember, there's more than one way to skin a cat in the financial planning game. We want you to be educated in financial planning. And financial planning covers your entire financial life. It's objective, it's unbiased, and it does not always involve financial products. You can reach me at 878-2134. Go to jasonwquals.com. But until next week, I am your host of the Financial Doctor Show, Jason Qualls, certified financial planner, chartered life underwriter, master of business administration. Have a good week. Nigga, double up. We don't play around. It's a bet. Lay it down. Niggas didn't know me 91. Bet they know me now. I'm the young Harlem nigga with the goldie sound. Can't no PG niggas hold me down.